What is up, everybody? Welcome to the WWE Royal Rumble 2024 post-show here with myself, Denise Salcedo, and my good friend, Righteous Reg. Reg, we're here. It's time to chat about the Royal Rumble. It's been a crazy week in professional wrestling, period. I want to start off by asking you, you know, how you're feeling coming off of last night's show?
Denise, I have a lot of emotions, my friend. First of all, it's your favorite rapper, your favorite writer, your favorite podcaster. Don't forget, Righteous Reg, Media Man, your boy. But you know, Denise, with the news of all this stuff this week, it felt pretty dire. It felt like there was a black cloud looming over this show. And you were there live. I would like to get your thoughts and how you felt being there live. I kind of felt it with the crowd. There were moments where you guys were hype, but there was a lot of moments that were just kind of there. And I don't know if that has to do with the situation or too many people being there. I don't know what the situation is, but there was moments where I was watching the show like, does the crowd care about any of this?
So let me tell you, Reg, you and I, we've been in some bad crowds. Most notably, we've talked about the Las Vegas crowd plenty of times on our AEW post show. Well, I can tell you that I think that this one was a very, it was so freaking weird. Okay, so here's what happened. I'm walking to the venue, okay? And I'm thinking, oh my God, this is going to be a great crowd because everybody is like chanting CM Punk on the streets. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't remember the last time people were chanting stuff on the streets. And then we get into the building, right? And we have the pre-show. During the pre-show, people were like chanting CM Punk. They were super loud. They were at 100, literally at 100. And they were lively. They were excited, all of that. And during the pre-show, they were putting up like little graphics, little people would be appearing, little interviews here and there. And when your favorites like Punk came out and Rhea Ripley came out, all of these other favorites, people were reacting. Mm-hmm. Now, for the Women's Rumble, I felt that people reacted accordingly to whatever it is that was going down. But I will say this, I personally, having been in the crowd, I personally feel that the match that lost people and kind of killed the crowd, I know people are not going to want to hear this, it was the Fatal 4-Way match with Roman Reigns, LA Knight, Randy Orton, and AJ Styles. I don't know what the hell went down, bro. But the match started. I'm sitting there, right? I'm watching. And then, like, I just realized it 10 minutes later. Like, I'm sitting here watching this match. No one has said or done anything. There's little reactions here and there, but nothing really crazy. And I turned to one of my friends that was sitting right next to me, and I was like, I'm not into this match. And he's like, neither is the crowd. And so I really feel like that was the moment where it just started to kind of decrease. And I feel like Logan Paul, Kevin Owens kind of did a little bit, the crowd reacted a little bit, but I don't know what the hell happened. Right before the Men's Royal Rumble, it was just like the crowd, the energy was completely sucked out of every single person in that room. And we went from 100 to zero. And I'm going to be honest, Reg, I was hoping that people would start to cheer, would start to get excited to maybe, you know, get one. It's contagious, right? If one section starts to get loud, maybe it'll influence another section and another section and eventually get to the press box, right? I was sitting there, everybody was quiet, not reacting. And I was like, all right, cool. I'm just going to sit here and just be like, the same way. And I feel like that was the mentality of no one's making sound. Why the fuck am I going to make sound?
Right. That's funny. There's a lot of interesting things that you said there, Denise, because I think coming into this show, there was like this perception of what people kind of felt how it was going to be. Coming into the show, we talked about that match. That's funny enough. And remember, Denise, I was like, there's a fatal four-way for Roman Reigns championship. No one in the world believes that he's going to lose to any of these people. So does this match matter? Are people going to care? And we saw that people did not care. That shows, Denise, if you go into a match with the preconceived notion that there's no way there's going to be a different outcome than I'm expecting, that's how it's going to be. I just thought, usually though, Denise, with these big stadium shows, like outside stuff doesn't matter, but it feels like maybe this is different. It feels different.
See, I would have said that, but I don't think it was the outside factors because they were hot for the women's match.
Okay.
They were hot right before. What happened right before the men's rumble that everyone collectively just decided, I ain't going to put any effort?
It was Roman.
I think that's so, what you're man. Saying. I'm not saying it was specifically just him, but that was the point, Reg. That was the point of the show where I was like, I'm going to take a bite of this cookie. I'm going to relax a little bit. And before I knew it, so was everybody else.
Did that is what could it also have been? They blew their load, so to speak, our first match fatigue of everybody was too excited about the Women's Royal Rumble. And then there's nothing left. You can't go around two.
They blew the load on the foreplay. Is that what
I'm
we're
saying?
Doing?
I mean, is that what happened here? I don't know.
Okay, I just want to warn people right now. All right, I'm going to warn people right now. I slept 3 hours last night. I'm not even going to get into what happened last night to me because I left, got home, was going to bed at 3 o'clock. You know what? I'm just going to tell you guys what the hell happened last night. All right. I'm staying at an Airbnb. And last night I was deep sleep. I was like, I got to wake up early for Busted Open. I have to be up early. Okay. I went to sleep at 3. Keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. At around 4:45, I was awoken in a panic. Legit. Shoot, Reg. Someone, multiple people, I don't know, were banging on the walls, throwing things on the windows. And I'm like, at least that's what it sounded like when I woke up. And I heard this woman yelling, get the F out of here. I have no idea who she was talking to, no idea what was going on. There was a bunch of voices. I panicked. I stood up. I grabbed my phone. I'm texting my husband. He's knocked out in the West Coast.
I'm like, he's far away.
He's far away. He ain't going to do nothing. I was legit standing here going, someone is going to try to open this goddamn door right now. Denise. And what the F am I going to do? I'm all alone. My family is asleep. And so I'm hearing people banging on fucking steel. I don't know what the hell happened last night. And I think my assumption is some people got into people were having a get together. I think they got into some arguments and that led to whatever. I think there was like a fight. I don't freaking know what happened, but that shit scared me, especially when you're
waking
up. Somebody
said, welcome to Florida.
I woke up and I'm like, am I under attack? Yeah. What's happening? Because I didn't know what was happening. And I was so scared because I didn't know what was happening. And I was in deep sleep. It was terrible. And I was so cold. I woke up. My hair was still wet because I had just showered. The AC was on. And I was like, what's happening?
Denise, you gotta be careful out there, man.
I gotta tell you, man. Anyway, so that's why I'm all messed up right now. So I'm sorry if I look like shit, sound like shit, you name it. God. I've been through the ringer. All right. So Reg, let's get back to this Rumble talk, man. We got FYI, guys, if you want to help support this podcast, if you guys want to get your question, comments, or statements right here on the show, please do send in super chats. They help us out tremendously. Thank you so much to Sheldon Jackson for gifting us 5 DWO memberships. We got Travis Lindsay who says, didn't watch the Rumble here for the Cali Connection. Wow, I feel like you're one of the few people that didn't watch the Rumble. Wow. But thank you so much for showing up for the Cali Connection. We got Jana here who says, when the crowd starts treating Universal Championship matches like filler matches, you know it's time for Cody to finish his story. Jana's got some points there. Reg, let's start off with that fatal four-way then, since we're already on it. For you, what was your reaction when you saw that match was literally following the women's match, the Women's Royal Rumble, and going before the U.S. title match?
It wasn't a good sign for me. I was like, okay, this isn't – I'm always of the belief, Denise – the Royal Rumble is the rare occasion where the world champion should be in the main event no matter what. Like, at minimum, it should be right before the men's Royal Rumble, right before the main event, because it's the biggest championship here. Everybody's fighting for it. The main event is about this championship. So it kind of felt like a side project, and people treated it like exactly the position that they put it in. It's really interesting to see this position because there's still – people, I'm still under the belief that Roman's going to try to beat the Hogan record. Like, that's what they're going for. And there's still people that are kind of on the Roman Reigns train. But then there's a bunch of people that are like, all right, enough already. And even the match, Denise, same old Roman Reigns stuff, like Solo's here with the hoodie. It's like, we're doing this again, you guys. Like, there has to be something. We got to have a line. There has to be something here. People are fed up, I think, Denise.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that this match, had it started off with a lot more like big moments, because we had just came off of the Women's Rumble that was full of a lot of really fun moments, right? I think that they needed, in order to continue the crowd's energy, they needed to really keep like feeding us things that we were going to react to. Like, right, the second you gave us a down period, you're going to start to lose people, because all of a sudden you get a down period. Ah, you know what? I start to get a little extra comfortable in my seat. I start to look around. I start to maybe eat. Maybe I'll go to concessions. You know, people are doing different things. You start to text. And before you know it, you're like, shit, oh, I missed 5 minutes of this match. What? Like, it happens to people. And so I kind of felt like that was sort of, and that was the point of the show at which I felt the crowd started to lose a lot of energy. And for me, like, I was watching this match and I'm like, okay, you're going to have to really win me over in the wrestling aspect of this, because I already know what the outcome is going to be. Mm-hmm. And I was more so curious going into it. We all talked about it. Who's going to take the pin? Who's going to take the pin? That was literally the part of the intrigue going into this match, which is not really the way that it's supposed to be, right?
Yeah, it's funny because this is the world champion, and none of his matches should ever feel like this. Two, AJ Styles is in here. You got to like really stifle and handcuff AJ Styles to not get some amazing matching moment. Randy Orton, who is over like Rover in WWE, Denise, he'll stop until the end of time. He's one of the most over guys. And LA Knight, one of their prize guys. Like, they have four elements that should make this match something. I'm interested, like you said, if they would have maybe started out some spot food going crazy, would it have changed things? They went for the slow, methodical type thing, and it's like, it's a fatal four-way. We don't want to see that. You guys need to go for it. But with the elements, I'm really surprised that the crowd was like, okay, like, LA Knight's there. What do you mean? Randy Orton. And people are still like, oh, so?
That's literally your reaction right now was literally what I was thinking that the crowd looked like with the Men's Rumble, but we're gonna get into that. All right, so I want to get into, you know what, we might as well talk about it now and then we'll get into the Women's Rumble, since I want to get the matches out of the way. Logan Paul versus Kevin Owens. I didn't think this match was bad. Like, I enjoyed what they did here. I wasn't expecting the ending with Kevin Owens being caught using the brass knuckles and essentially this ending in a DQ. I think this clearly means that they're headed to Elimination Chamber, probably doing this in a rematch with some sort of stipulation added to it. But I did not hate this match, by the way. I found myself a little bit more interested in this match than I was in the Fatal 4-Way. I thought Logan Paul looked really good. He threw some great uppercuts. Of course, he'd be killing it with that buckshot lariat. Reg, I'm feeling some posing energy here. What are you thinking?
No, this is I'm adjusting in my seat because I feel uncomfortable that I have to say these things on this podcast, and you forced me to do this. Logan Paul really gets it, Denise. It's insane. Like, the way that I watch a lot of wrestling, Denise, you know it. Like, I've been for the last 30 years, every day, some wrestling. This guy really understands everything. He understands little things. He understands when to work the crowd. He understands space, timing, strikes, when to sell, when to get a taunt. You know, like, he just really get, and I'm like, I hate this guy so much. I want him to not ever have the opportunity for me to praise him, but yo, I mean, he really did it. Of course, hats off to Kevin Owens, one of the best ever. He could get this kind of match out of anybody. And to kind of bring a crowd back that's not that interested, and to be able to do it with someone who's not considered a full-time wrestler, it's a feat.
Yeah, it is. And I think you're right, because we all kind of love to hate Logan Paul, but truth be told, you got to give him some stew. He's been doing a good job, and he did a great job in this Kevin Owens match too.
I didn't really like the referee thing. No,
it wasn't a finish that I expected for what we're seeing right now with Kevin Owens. But right. I get that it's being used to, again, I'm assuming most likely it's leading to this rematch.
Like, they're protecting Kevin Owens. And it's like, I guess that's a really good thing, like, to know that he's one of the superstars that they don't want to take a loss. But I think it would have been very fine if, like, Logan Paul would have cheated to beat him. And then that's maybe how he gets a rematch. I just didn't like on commentary, they were like, I think it was Pat McAfee was like, oh, now the ref has 20/20 vision. Now he could see something that I'm like, because any other time the referee would not have seen his little brass knuckle on his hand. But now all of a sudden he could see it. It's just like, all right, that's silly. But
that's true, because I feel like for the most, I would say like 99% of wrestling history, whenever we've seen anyone use the brass knucks. Actually, maybe like 95%, right?
95%.
There's that 5%. Yeah. That's like 5% that gets caught, right? Yeah. But a good majority, bam, brass knucks, continue on. They win the match, right?
Yeah.
And so
The fact that he saw it on his hand is like, all right, I see what you're trying to do. Protecting everybody. I get so annoyed with wins and losses, Denise. I've ranted on many podcasts. So that's just where I was like, this DQ finish, I don't really know if that's the way to go. That probably wasn't the best finish going into the Men's Royal Rumble also, because DQ finishes never go over good with the live crowd.
That's true. I didn't think about that. It's a good touch. Maybe that was the thing that got people like, womp, womp, womp. But also, it's funny because we're always mad because the ref never sees anything, and the ref finally sees something, and we're like, oh, so now your eyes work.
Exactly.
Now he's being punished for doing his job right. Essentially.
We consistently are like, do your job, and then he does his job, and we're like, dude, why are you doing your job?
Yeah, that's literally what went down, man. All right, we got a couple of super chats here. This one here is from Mike Parker, who says, I don't think there was any steam behind the four-way period. If I was there live and if that match was after the Rumble, I would have been fine leaving. I wouldn't have wanted to close out the show with this Rumble match, but smart. I thought it was going to go right before the Men's Rumble. Like, truth be told, that's what I thought. Women's U.S. Universal Men's Rumble.
I mean, historically, that's kind of how it's always been. So it's just kind of a surprise to be like, and next is Roman Reigns. You're like, what do you mean next is Roman Reigns? He should be in the main event here. It's interesting.
Delayed Grad says Logan Paul and Kevin Owens was a sleeper best match, and Roman wins has become the new Cena wins. Ooh, yes. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, 1,000%. Now it's like, if it's at a point where everybody in the crowd already expects it, it's bad. And that's exactly how Cena was, of like, we love Cena, but you've made us hate him by forcing him to be in these weird, awkward positions. And that's where Roman is.
Damn, that's very unfortunate. But you know what? We may or may not be almost to the finish line. Almost, possibly. We got a super chat here from Chris who says, I hate the finish to match the match of Logan and Kevin Owens. It made Kevin Owens look stupid. That's what I said. Like, I didn't say outright that it made him stupid, but it did not match who he is. Like, Kevin Owens is the kind of guy that will stab you, like, right to the heart instead of the back, you know?
Yes, exactly. And he's not the what Chris is saying here, Kevin Owens never looked stupid. Even in the match, there was a certain point where Logan Paul did this Naomi style splits pin, and Kevin Owens pushed him off, and it felt like he did a real slap of like, don't be playing with me in here. He's like, his character and his human being, like, he's never one to look stupid, and this finish made him kind of look like that.
Yeah, that's a bummer, but there you go. We're most likely going to be getting that rematch. All right, so this is a good question. This is from Lo Futato, who says, what innings are we in? You think we're at the bottom of the seventh?
Depends.
Are we at the seventh inning stretch?
Denise, it depends on if Cody, you know, crosses that home plate at the end. You know what I mean?
Here's
we could be in the fifth inning if he's not going to cross the home plate.
Oh, God. Because I've seen the home plate as WrestleMania. So, like,
crossing the home plate is winning at WrestleMania, not getting there.
Okay. So, all right. So, ninth inning would be getting to WrestleMania.
Yes.
Him winning would be the
Grand Slam.
Yeah, the Grand Slam. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then the eighth inning would be, I don't even know. Why am I even talking about this? Who cares? What am I even doing? We got predictions here. Windreed Production says seventh inning stretch is the road to WrestleMania.
Yeah, totally.
Oh man, guys. Oh, D Eddie. Oh no, it says Cody Roman is a doubleheader. We're still in the first game.
God.
Can you imagine that?
I'm nervous about this, Denise. I mean, honestly, Cody wasn't my projected winner, and I'm like, do you think that means The Rock's not going to be here? That's how that my first thing was like, where's The Rock? You know?
Let's put a pin on that. Let's put a pin on that when we get to the men's rumble.
Okay.
Put a pin on that. Let's get to the women's rumble. Let's go.
Yes.
Because the women's rumble.
The better rumble.
Yes. That was the highlight of this show. They freaking killed it. 2024 women's Royal Rumble winner, Bayley. I felt a little emo during this, Reg, seeing her celebrate, get her moment, point to the WrestleMania sign, her little fireworks come up. It was phenomenal. Overall, how did you feel about the layout of this match?
Like I was saying, Denise, this was the much better Royal Rumble. I think at the end of this, with the way that they were panning around the ring and showing all the women, all of these are main event contenders. I think I left the end of that match being like, damn, the women's division in 2024 is hot. We got Jade, we got Naomi, we got Bianca, we got Becky, we got Bayley, we got Damage Control, Tiffany Stratton. Like, it's like a who's who of great, talented women who can all be the future of this business. And that's kind of what the whole match was. The match was like, oh, these are all great women that are either currently right now killing it or going to be the future of killing it. And just showing consistently that the energy just felt so different in the women's match. It felt like refreshing. It felt like new. Like the end of the men's match is Cody and Punk. And it's like, no disrespect to those guys. They're both two guys, but these are like wrestlers we've been seeing for the last 20 years, wrestlers that are main event stars already. It's kind of like a situation we've seen already. The women's match felt like Jade is a huge star. Oh my God. They're pushing her like she's a goddess. Like she is, you know what I mean? Like she should be pushed. And Tiffany Stratton looks great. And all these women just look like, yo, the WWE women's division should be pushed to a different level than it has been. I felt really excited and inspired and all the things you should feel after a Royal Rumble match. It felt like that what the Royal Rumble used to represent, if like they're going to put somebody over, they're going to, this is going to send somebody to a different height. This is what it felt like. I liked it a lot. How was it in the building?
I would say that in the building, people were hyped, man. People were excited. I will say that the thing that did take away from the Women's Rumble is that there was two things, actually. One was the music. Truth be
I don't told, know nobody's music, Denise. That's what took me out of did. It. I don't Reg, know nobody's music.
Nobody did. Nobody. I watch Raw, NXT, SmackDown. I knew only like 20% of the entrance.
Seriously.
And I think that definitely held people back from this really quick reaction, because instead it's like music plays. And you're like, who is it? And then you have to wait until you either see the person or you look up at the Tron to see their name pop up. And it's like, oh, yeah, I like this person, right? But that kind of stole from the moment, I think. And then on top of that, there was a lot of people that just did not get reactions. A lot of the, most likely the women that you would expect, they didn't get, there was a lot of women that didn't get reactions. And so there was this big period where there was just no reactions for a lot of the names. And so that was a little bit like, you know, difficult, but I will give them credit though, because they didn't lose us in the ring. In the ring, they kept the action going. So even with those two things where some women didn't get good reactions and we didn't even know some of the songs and who they were until they came out, they still kept the action hot in the ring enough. So you're just like, all right, I'm going to wait to see what they do instead of just being like, oh, I'm not going to pay attention. Right.
Wow. So, that point, Denise, I forgot to bring up that point. The entrance music. Seriously. I like the whole time I was like, who's this? Who's next? I know all the when they come out, I know who they are, but I'm like, I don't know no one's song. This is insane. And they've even changed some people's songs along. It's like,
and you're like,
this
when?
Is crazy. Yeah. When did they change this? So yeah, even at home, I'm watching, trying to look at the Titantron of like, who is this coming out? It's frustrating because the men's are not like that. You get everybody's like, instantly, you know, Finn Balor's coming. Even with this new theme, you know, Cody's coming, you know, Punk's coming, you know, Drew McIntyre's coming. Like, it just was different. But yeah, when the women got to the ring, it didn't really matter, because by the time they got in the middle, like Jade, when she got to the middle of the ring, people were like, oh my God, this is crazy. Nia Jax has a new theme too. I'm like, what song is this, Nia Jax? But when she got to the ring, her presence like made it all worth it. But yeah, I kind of agree with that too, what you're saying, Denise, because there were some points where they would be trying spots or they do something that should get a reaction and it would get nothing.
Right. Exactly. So, well, you're not alone in this, Reg, honestly. We got a super chat here from George by Nature, who says, absolutely love the Women's Rumble match. I hope Liv will finally get that Rumble win soon. She had a phenomenal reaction. But let's talk about some of the people that we got to see in this match and some of the moments. All right. I want to start off with Naomi and Jordynne Grace. So Naomi, she came in at number two. So she was a very quick early surprise. And then we ended up having Jordynne Grace later come out at number five. And there was a moment where they like embrace, you know, two, you know, your former TNA Knockouts champion and your current TNA Knockouts champion. What did you think of the moment? Seeing Naomi come back, Jordynne Grace come out here and get this moment, and just like overall.
Yeah, this made the Rumble even better and started it off, I think, on a great foot. Number one, having Natty come out as number one, too, I think with, like, if you know what she's been doing with the Heart Dungeon and kind of training and being everybody, kind of having her start off the show, I thought was a great idea. But instantly having a big moment of Naomi coming back. We're in Florida. She looks amazing. Gear is shining and everything. Her getting that moment just to kind of soak it all in. Oh, my God. Great stuff. But then Jordynne Grace coming, being a surprise. Like, we've had Mickey James a couple years ago came and entered the Rumble as the TNA Knockouts champion. We're doing it here again. And Jordynne Grace, I think the funny thing, Denise, was when Jordynne got in the ring, you saw the difference of work rate. Like, Jordynne is 100 miles per hour. Like, she works like I work as a TNA Knockout, and I don't hold back. And you could, like, she had to, like, hold back, honestly, because she like got in there and she was going, and she was like, oh, everybody else isn't going 100 miles per hour like I am. I thought, but in turn, that made her look like a superstar to me, because she looked strong. She was, her strikes were crazy, suplexes, everything looked, she looked bigger than a lot of people, even in the match, that are stars there already, which I thought was dope. Her and Naomi embracing, I thought for TNA, this was a big moment, even bigger than the Mickey James thing, because I think Jordynne looks so strong as their champion. And if I had never seen her before, I would want to see more of her.
You know what this kind of taught me? If I was a wrestler, a women's wrestler, and I was stuck in WWE in catering, not really being seen, I'm on the main roster, sure, but no one's ever seen me, I would much rather be working at TNA Wrestling to get better, be active, because then when I have my shot in WWE, I'm going to come in and I'm just going to be levels above a lot of the women that aren't getting those opportunities. Of course, this is not, we're not talking about Bianca. We're not talking about Becky. We're talking about the people that are not often seen on the show. But that being said, you know who else I thought looked better than some of the main roster girls? Your NXT girls, Tiffany Stratton, Roxanne Perez, they came in fired up, man. I'm like, these girls are outperforming some of your main roster talent. Like, we need to applaud them because they are in developmental.
Yeah, yeah, Denise, I thought Tiffany Stratton's aura, like, she looked like, I'm a star, dude. There's nothing, nobody in that ring is a bigger star than I am. And that's exactly the type of energy that you need. Roxanne looked like she's been on the main roster for 20 years and like she's just comfortable in all the positions. Like last year or when she was in it, she looked a little bit like, damn, this is the Royal Rumble. But this year she was like, no, I'm coming to win this. Yeah, exactly. I'm in NXT. I'm a star. I'm this. I want to be in there with some people that inspired me to get in here. I want to fight Bayley. I want to fight these people. I thought that, yes, Denise, the NXT women showed that they are here and they can come and take your spot. If I was a main roster girly, I'd be like, yo, I got to get my game up because they came not playing. I loved it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Definitely. Okay. So we talked about Naomi. We talked about Jordynne Grace. Oh, I do want to talk about, I loved the way that Jordynne Grace got eliminated by Bianca because of death. Oh, it was so good on the ring. I like how you were like,
And I was like, oh yeah. No, the way that she hit that. Because I thought she was just going to, you know, not sit out with it, I guess. But when Bianca sat out with it, I was like, oh, damn. But yeah, of course, that's how Jordynne would lead the match. She came in 100 miles per hour and she left with the giant bump. I'm like, That's how you make your mark here. Like I said, if I had seen nothing of Jordan Grace, I'd be like, I have to see more of this person. She's insane. She's buff. She looks cool. Like, a great showing in this. Again, Jade Cargill, though, Denise. What do you think of kind of about it? Felt like they took AEW Jade Cargill and just nothing different. Here you go.
They just turned up the volume a little bit, I think.
That's it. But this is like the same way she was presented over there is pretty much the same way she's presented over here. How do you feel about it?
All right. So Jade Cargill, when she came out, number 28, the first thing that I'm going to say is confidence all the way, skyrocket high.
A gazillion.
She shot out so much. Like, that is the confidence we all here should strive to have daily lives, because we would be so far ahead in whatever it is we're doing if we had Jade Cargill's confidence, because she came out and she was like, yes, it's me, bitch. Like, you know, like, that's
seriously
really the vibe she had. And so she comes in, right? Keep in mind, Nia Jax, for the, you know, she had been in there. What number was Nia? Nia Jax was number 19. So she had been in there for a while. And Nia Jax had a lot of eliminations. On top of that, she's been booked strongly. So the first thing we get, I mean, well, not the first thing. She did have a moment with Bianca Belair. It was cut briefly, but she gets in there with Nia Jax. They're staring off at each other. And I'm like, oh boy, here we go. Nia Jax lifts her up, and I'm thinking, all right, she's probably gonna, you know, slam her down, and then we're gonna continue from there. But instead, she countered that, lifted up Nia Jax like it was freaking nothing, and then slams her down. And I think she like eliminated her right after, right?
Yo, but Jade, the way that she uses raw power, like, it's like, usually when you're wrestling is all about like, you think it's two people fighting, but it's two people working together against the crowd. It's all about, I'm about to slam you, so help me get you up. Jade doesn't care about that. She's like, I'm picking you up. Are you no, you're not ready. All right, you're still going. How do you pick Nia Jax up like that? Nobody's ever picked her up and thrown her. Like, Nia probably was like, my body's never done this before. And Jade did it so effortlessly that it
she
was like,
posed.
She posed, Denise.
She posed. My back would have been broken. I would have been like, oh.
Dude, and on commentary, they've emphasized so much of like, last year it took this many people to get Nia Jax out. It's always taken so many people to get Nia Jax out. And Jade did it by herself, just one person. I'm like, oh, they think Jade's a big star. Thank God, because she is.
Yeah, and like I had said this in my prediction show, I was going to be worried if Jade Cargill wasn't in the Rumble. I'm like, if she's not in the Rumble, what do they see? What's going on? So given her, she was in the Rumble, they gave her this great moment, a very memorable one. They went about it right, because even when Jade Cargill was eliminated, nobody was like, oh man, they fucked it up. No one thought that. Instead, everybody was thinking, she had a great moment. It was really good. She looked great. On to the next one. And they even had this moment, by the way, where after she eliminated Nia Jax and Becky Lynch was reacting to that, they almost made it seem like Jade was going to eliminate Becky. Did you get that vibe?
Yeah, Jade was kind of giving her a look like, why are you celebrating what I did? Like, you're about to be next. I like that little thing. They teased a couple of matches with Jade, Denise, because she threw out Naomi at one point, and she looked at Naomi like, I'm the new one in town. So I'm like, I'm just getting so excited about all these potential matchups. I mean, it could be Nia, it could be Becky, it could be Naomi, it could be Bianca. I still think after that stare down, I said it before, Bianca and Jade as a tag team is a gazillion dollar idea. We're making all the money in the world. All the little girls are so inspired, and no one in the world could ever beat them. I think there's so much money in them being a tag team, but she just looked like a superstar. And I was like, you worried for a little bit, like, we haven't seen her. Because remember when she came in every week, they were like, Jade's here. She's doing this. She's doing this. And then for a couple months, we haven't seen anything. But she came out like, here I am. I'm a star. There's no denying me. Phil was pitching her having a big WrestleMania match. And I was like, I don't know, man. I don't really know if I'd go immediately into something like this. But after seeing this Royal Rumble performance, I'm like, oh, we're off to the races. Put her in it. Do it. Title matches, all, everything you need. She looks like a star.
1000%, man. I can't like disagree with you at all, because that was really freaking good. She came out there and she looks great. Man, and then like even seeing just like the way that they did it, like the final four. Oh, I love the spot where I think it was Tiffany. She pulled the braid of Bianca. And so they're there in this like weird positioning, right? And poor Bianca is getting like her hair pulled, and Bailey just comes in and she's like, doop. And then she throws them both out, and she's there like a mad woman going, yeah, you know?
Oh, Denise, what about the meme they're making out of Kyrie now of her doing girl, the Spider-Man
I
thing?
I don't know why I'm calling you girl. I was like, I'm freaking
That's how you know you're really into it.
I'm running on 3 hours of sleep, all right? I'm delusional. All right, Reg. Remember I called you Will last time? Yeah. Yesterday I called Phil Will.
Take your ass to bed, Denise.
I know. I have to work after this, actually.
Work.
Yeah, I do. I really do. So, what am I talking
Kyrie.
About? Kyrie. Spider-Man. Thank you. That was painful, Reg. Mm-hmm. Was that a botch, by the way?
I don't know, because it looks like Asuka was trying to help her back up and she didn't make it. So I'm like, I don't know what happened.
Had she made it, I would have been like, she's a witch. What is it? How'd she do that?
How did you do that? Yeah, no, yeah. I don't know if it was a botch, but it was a great moment. They did it.
It was phenomenal. And even just like the moment where Bailey won was really awesome. And then I loved that when they showed her pointing to the WrestleMania sign, all the girls who had been eliminated right before were just there watching her, super jealous. I was like, look at them haters watching Becky. Bailey.
Becky yeah, all was of like, them. Big hater energy. But yes, congrats to Bailey. Well deserved. As I've said a million gazillion times, Sasha Banks / Mercedes is my favorite WWE women's wrestler of all time, but it's 1A and 1B with Bayley, because all of my favorite Sasha moments of all time, Bayley was right there alongside of her, and she has fought for so long for this women's division, for women's wrestling in general, and to be in a position like this, it's so well-deserved, man. WWE loves accolades. They love blah, blah, blah. But Bayley deserves this win so much, because she sat on those front lines every week, Denise, being like, we deserve more. We need more. And beyond that, like online, her online presence of like any women's wrestler in any company doing anything. If she sees a women's wrestler that's doing something cool, she'll retweet it. She'll say something to them. Like, she's just so down for women's wrestling. Like, no one deserves this win more than Bayley. And California, Bay Area, what's up?
That's true. Out here representing.
If the 49ers win today, like, Bayley's gonna, I don't know what she's gonna do.
Oh my God. A lot writing here. All right. Well, we got some super chats. Let's go. Let's get to them. This is a very generous one here from Mike Parker, who says, hopefully they will learn something from the Women's Rumble. Plenty of surprises. Made a lot of the participants look great. Love the reaction Naomi got and how touched she was also. I think like you really just need to have these fun moments, like these fun moments, because there were so many in here. Like, I can at least for half the women that appeared on this, I could name something that they did in this Rumble, versus I can't say the same thing about the men's. Like, if you ask me what did so-and-so do in the Rumble, I'd be like, I don't know. I got to rewatch it, bro. I have no idea what he did.
Yeah, that's every moment that they built to in the women's match, it felt bigger. Like Nia having her dominant performances, knocking people out. I think Tiffany Stratton hitting her little front flip to get into the ring. Like, there was all these kind of built upon things. In the men's match, it was just like everybody's punching each other. It's like, all right,
cool. Yeah, exactly that. Today Wade, who says, Samantha Irving or Lillian Garcia, who's better? I'm gonna be honest with you, it is Samantha Irving by like a million zillion.
Yeah, I mean, it's like there's really not a competition. Like, Lillian Garcia, great, one of the best that WWE's had, but Samantha Irving's on something else. She's on another planet with hers.
She is, like, listening to her ring announce, she just has this power in her voice. And I'm like, where does she store all of this power in her? But when she ring announced Roman Reigns, like when she gets like, Roman Reigns, like she gets that grittiness. Oh my God. But she does it in a way where it doesn't like hurt your ears. You know, she does it in a way where it's like, it's gritty, but it is nice.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I guess being like a trained singer and how all of the things she could do with her voice has prepared her for this. But yeah, she could get it to the highest height, get them DBs way up there, but it doesn't burn anybody out, anybody's ears out, and it makes the superstars look like even bigger superstars. And the presentation is just amazing with her.
It really is. It really is. She makes things a million times better. Lab Gloss says that Entrance Tron was the worst I've seen. What you think of the Entrance Tron?
It helped me know who these women are with their entrance music. That's that's
about it. You're like, that's it. It served its purpose.
Yeah, pretty much.
I did like also, by the way, I did like that they put their little times up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The Rumble. Have they that done cool. that before? Because I didn't remember if they did. I can't remember
any time that they've done this. But yeah, I thought it was cool to be like, this person's been in for 45 minutes. This person's been in for 30. Because they continuously talk about it all the time, but they never show a visual thing of it.
Right. It helps to have that visual. Yeah, I saw that and I was like, I'm pretty sure this is the first time they're doing it. But I, you know, terrible memory. So
yeah.
Chi-Town Spurs says Women's Rumble was the best match of the show. Great returns, great debuts. Jade Cargill can be the biggest star in that company in 2 years. It is nice that not only can she be one of the biggest stars in the company, but she has other stars there to be there with her. And that is key, man. You don't want to be a star and have jobber opponents.
Yeah, just like I was saying, Denise, she set up so many matches going forward. And the reason that all those matches are set up going forward, because she looked like a big star. And just like you're saying, in relations to her past, now every time she interacts with somebody, that's also a big star. So it's like, you see her with Becky, you're like, oh shit, like Becky's huge. You see her with Nia, you're like, oh damn, Nia. You see her with Bianca, you're like, oh shit, this is, it all feels like a big, big deal. Every showdown she has, I'm so interested in what she does going forward. I was worried for a little bit, but man, they booked her so well last night that I'm like, yo, we're off to the races.
Hell yeah, man. I can just imagine you sitting there going, oh shit. Yeah. Oh shit. Oh, like the whole time. Will Chisholm says, who would have thought we would have seen a TNA storyline played out on WWE pay-per-view? Dude, I was thinking the same thing when we saw Naomi and Jordan across from each other. I was like, am I in a parallel universe?
And Denise, on commentary, they're like, the knockout champion, and Naomi was the knockout champion, and they feuded this. And it's like, you guys are talking about TNA on WWE. What is going on here? They're hugging and you guys are acknowledging it. It's just like the position that we've gotten to is so, so wild. But this is how pro wrestling should be. Like, there should be other women's wrestlers and other wrestlers from different companies in the Royal Rumble all the time.
It was really dope. It was really dope. Dream Ninja 77 says, Reg, that face-to-face with Bianca and Jade, good Lord, two pure goddesses, I legit got chills. Mm. I wouldn't even know who to root for. I mean, they're so different. They have very different personalities.
They are.
Bianca presents herself as like very humble, very nice. Jade is a little bit more like, I'm bad and I'm bougie and I know it.
Not so a little bit more, Denise, a lot of bit more. Yeah, like, she's the total opposite. She's like, no, I'm the greatest thing you've ever seen in your whole life. You're lucky to breathe the same air as me.
Yes, like Bianca's girl next door.
Yes.
Jade is full on Mariah Carey, diva.
Jade is don't look at me. Like, close your eyes when I walk by.
Yes, that's exactly it. And it's so funny because, like, that big difference is going to play a huge part, I think, in the way that they tell that story when we eventually get to it.
Yeah, whatever it is, if they're going to do what I think they should do, be a tag team or face off, when they get to it and Bianca gets to, you need to chill. I don't know why you're so aggressive and think everybody you're better than everybody, and Jade being like, you need to stop playing well with these motherfuckers, we're on our way to be the biggest blah 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 in the world. That showdown, there was a couple showdowns like that where it was like, oh man, the future. They could, with Charlotte being out of WrestleMania, this puts Jade into a different position, because I thought that they were leading towards Bianca and Charlotte for the I don't know why Denise is making all this noise over here. She's playing with knives and pots and pans. I don't know why Charlotte. I thought they were leading towards Bianca and Charlotte at WrestleMania. But since Charlotte is out, maybe they could. What is going on here, Denise?
Reg, can you hear me?
Yes.
You can hear me? Okay, I can't hear you. I'm sorry. I disconnected something and I can't hear you. I need to leave the studio and come back. Okay. But I hope this doesn't end the stream, though, if I leave the studio.
No, I think if I'm still here, it should be okay.
So I'm going to leave really quickly.
Yeah.
Are you logged in on the back
end? I'm logged in. Yeah, yeah.
You okay. should be good. Okay. All right. Yeah. I'll be right back.
What's up, y'all? Denise is out of commission. Let me get back to the point I was trying to make. Charlotte and Bianca at WrestleMania was potentially could have happened. Now I think it could potentially be Jade and Bianca at WrestleMania. You got this built-in story. Anytime they kind of do those little face-offs and showdowns, it's like, this is potentially a WrestleMania match. We're kind of gauging the story of how the crowd feels, of how these situations feel. So that could be a thing. Denise, are you back? Can you hear?
Yes, I got a little too comfortable. I moved a wire. It got disconnected. I couldn't hear shit. I just saw you this whole last 2 minutes. I have no idea what you said. I just saw. And I was, didn't you see? I was like doing stuff.
Yeah, I was like, you were like banging on pots and pans over. I'm like, what is Denise doing? Why is she making all this noise?
I'm so sorry, guys. I don't know what happened. Everything got disconnected and I couldn't hear anything. Apparently, everybody was like, it's your time, Reg. What were you guys talking about?
I was just talking about Bianca and Jade. That's
okay, well, continue on. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you guys off.
No, it's good. I finished.
Oh, you finished?
I finished, yeah.
I'm so sorry. All right. Nell D says, I'll never know what you said, by the way. I'll never know what you said.
It's fine. No, it's okay.
Nell D says, this is for a Red Bull or 5-hour energy or something.
Denise, where's your coffee at? What are you doing?
I can't drink coffee right now. I have like an issue where I have to cut my caffeine. So I'm not on any coffee or anything. I've got no caffeine, nothing. I haven't had caffeine in about like the whole time that I've been here.
Denise.
Yeah, I know.
Damn it.
I got issues. I can't eat anything right now. I can't eat dairy. Although yesterday I did have cheese, so.
Your ass getting old.
I know. I've got problems, all right? I've got problems. Yesterday, you know what I was thinking about during the Fatal 4-Way? I was thinking about whether or not I took my freaking antibiotic. Oh, and I was just there.
Grandma. How old are you, Denise? I'm older than you are. And you're out here thinking, where's my probiotic? I got to get my ginseng.
No, antibiotic. Okay. And I don't even know if I took it yesterday, but whatever. I took it today. But not to be giving TMI over here.
It's already too much information. Okay, Denise. Jesus.
Will Chisholm says, I'm happy for the reaction Naomi got. I did love that Jade and Bianca face off, but put them in a tag team though. I want to see them both tag team separately.
All of it.
Yeah, exactly. All of it. All right. So let's get to the men's rumble. Here we go. We've been talking a whole lot about the women's because it was the best rumble of the night. But here we go. The men's Royal Rumble. We got Rated R, J, and B, who says, would love for them to wait on Jade and Bianca at Mania. Let them tag against the Kabuki Warriors, win the tag titles, and build a rivalry. All right, what's up? There you go. That's some good stuff there. All right, thank you so much to Rated R, J, and B. Let's go. Men's Rumble. Where do we start? Cody Rhodes. You know what? Let's start at the end. Cody Rhodes and CM Punk.
Okay.
How did you feel about the final two? I mean, this was what I wanted. I wanted to see Cody Rhodes and CM Punk as the final two. But was it what we expected?
Oh, yeah. Before I see some people talking about it in the chat, before we move on from the women's Royal Rumble, how did you feel about the R-Truth spot?
Oh, I thought it was funny because I was not really wanting to see.
Does it take away from the women? Is it disrespectful?
No, because I just didn't think that. I don't think that Valhalla's performances on Raw have been very good.
Right.
So I almost feel like when I saw Valhalla come out for this spot, I was like, oh, this is just going to be like whatever's right. Like just a whatever spot. Mm-hmm. And when R-Truth came out, I thought, oh, at least they're going to make some comedy out of it. So I kind of preferred it a little bit.
Oh, okay. That is an interesting take on it.
It wouldn't have made a difference, to be honest. But I
right. It wasn't that. Like it was taken away from somebody that it needed to be taken
no,
away from.
No. Had it been somebody else that was like, you know.
If he came out during Jade, I'd be on here yelling.
Had he done it to Zoe Stark, for example.
Okay, yeah.
I would have been like, bro, what? Not Zoe Stark. Right. Because she goes out there and she does really great matches. But that's honestly how I felt about it.
Okay, yeah, that's a really good, interesting take on that. But yeah, CM Punk and Cody Rhodes, I think everybody was kind of primed for this. It was kind of set up. Everybody, they told the story going into the match. Denise, the pre-packages for the show and everything, they were like, two guys are here to finish their story. Will it be Cody Rhodes who blah, 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 or will it be CM Punk after 10 years? So it's like, I think it's interesting to kind of tell fans what a thing's going to be and then get to that thing and to see how the reactions were. That was probably the hottest part of the men's match. It felt like the crowd was the most excited during Cody and Punk's exchange, Punk's go to sleeps and all that, the way that they were just kind of doing like the match that they would do if they went one-on-one, slow, methodical spot.
Which maybe wasn't the right way to go about it.
These guys can't go any faster than that, Denise. That's the fastest Cody and Punk could go. That's like, you ain't getting better than that. These guys move like turtles. Punk, you know what I mean? Like, this is what you're going to get out of that. This felt like the hottest part of the match, so I wasn't too surprised that they got to this. Cody winning, though, I thought going into the show, them kind of emphasizing on, we haven't had a back-to-back winner in 26 years. We have, anytime they kind of force that thing down your throat, it's always like, I don't know, are you guys going to do this? And so they kept saying that. I was like, Cody's probably winning this. And so they get down to this, and then Cody wins, and I'm like, where's The Rock? My first thought was, is The Rock not going to be in the WrestleMania main event? Which is fine. I think Cody should finish the story. But I don't know if this was the best decision for the Rumble winner with the story that they could tell moving forward. You predicted Cody going into this, Denise?
No, I picked CM Punk into this. Yeah, I picked Punk. And it was primarily because if they were going to do Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns, I guess I just wanted them to find a different way to get there, because this just feels so the same. I feel like I'm copying my friend's homework and I'm turning in the same assignment that my friend just did.
It's deja vu.
Yeah, that's literally what it feels like. And it was it kind of like when Cody won the Rumble last year was like a, oh my God, Cody's here in the WWE. He came back. He tore his pec. He fought so hard in that Hell in a Cell. He came back. He recuperated. He did what he had to do. He won the Rumble. What a phenomenal moment. This time it was like, oh, Cody won. Cool. They're going to do the WrestleMania main event. Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes. All right. That's it.
Which way am I going? Where's my taxi?
Exactly. And so like, that's what I'm saying. There was a big difference versus, I think if CM Punk would have won, although, oh my gosh, I don't even know if I should say my thought about this, because I thought to myself, I was still thinking that CM Punk was going to win. And I thought, oh my God, I'm just going to say it. Okay. Don't cancel me. I was thinking, oh my God, if CM Punk wins, he's going to win one of the most boring Royal Rumbles ever. What? I don't want that for CM Punk. I was thinking that.
I mean, shit.
Like, it crossed my mind. I was like, oh, damn, that would kind of suck.
Cody being the winner kind of makes sense in that case then. I love Cody Rhodes, but he kind of, like, that Royal Rumble was like, the issue that I had, again, prefaces by saying, I love Cody Rhodes, but watching the match, he spent about 95% of the time down in the corner, just sitting down, like not being a part of anything. Like the whole time he was in there, he was just in the corner, just like watching, waiting for his moments. And I'm like, this isn't the way, you guys. Coming off that women's match, this one felt like a bunch of waiting. Everybody's just waiting for their time. They'll come in, punch, 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 throw somebody over, then back to the corner to wait. And it's like, this is what's exciting about this Royal Rumble is everybody interacting. We get in these different stuff, but everybody's just punching and waiting. I don't have any interest in this. Cody's journey in this match didn't feel as well, because he's just waiting for the whole time. It didn't feel like it was earned. It was like, okay, I'm waiting. I'm going to win this match. When's my time to win this match? And it was like, it didn't really hit. I think ending that show with CM Punk pointing at the Rumble, at the WrestleMania sign, would have hit way harder for me, just with the story being told. But I mean, we were going to get here anyways, right, Denise?
Yeah, we really were. I think this was the predictable route. And we should have known, because you mentioned how WWE keeps telling us things, right? And so it kind of gives away things. It telegraphs it too much. I remember when they did the Royal Rumble by the numbers, if you remember correctly, when they were talking about people who have done the back-to-back wins in the past, they had put everybody's picture, and then right below they had Cody Rhodes. Like, they added his picture and then put question mark, question mark, question mark. And I was like, you're already adding Cody Rhodes' picture to this. Like, I get what they were trying to do, basically plant the idea in our heads. But I think it would have been much cooler to be like, oh shit, Cody Rhodes won back to, like, we all know he won back to, like, was going to win back to back, right? Like, once it happened, we all knew he won last year. Okay, now he won this year. Oh shit, when's the last time this happened? Like, we could have figured it out for our own versus
them force feeding it. They were just like, we have to hammer this point home. Stone Cold Steve Austin, don't forget. But it's like, your fans are good enough to, like Denise said, we're gonna put the pieces together. Oh, he won last year. Wonder when the last person, like Twitter and Instagram and all these things, there's people that specifically do stuff like that. Like, somebody would have immediately been like, and here are all the facts that go to that. But WWE has to force it down there. Denise, watching this show live, one big problem that I have watching it on, I mean, with the commentary and the thing, Michael Cole, the whole men's match, he was selling Monday Night Raw. So, like, who has a match? Bronson Reed and Jey Uso has a match. So Bronson Reed comes out and he's like, and tomorrow night, Bronson Reed's gonna take on Jey Uso. But he's like, and then somebody else comes out and he's like, and tomorrow night on Raw, they got this big match. I'm like, but this is the big match. Why are you selling me on someone Kofi Kingston's getting an Intercontinental title match. You're like, tomorrow night, Kofi Kingston's fighting against. I'm like, why are you selling me on an Intercontinental title match when Kofi Kingston is trying to win a match to win the world title? Why are you telling me about this is the most important thing in the world right now? You shouldn't be selling me on a match that this guy is going to have tomorrow. I don't care about that, dude. I care about them winning this match and main eventing WrestleMania. And he spent the whole time being like, don't forget, tomorrow night, Gunther's going to be on here. It's like, Michael Cole, sell this match, you dumb idiot.
Reg, you're really passionate about this. I had no idea because I wasn't listening to the commentary.
Yeah, every time he would do, he's like, and tomorrow, I'm like, dude, I'm watching the Royal Rumble. Why are you selling me on Raw? You idiot. Oh my, I was watching it like dude,
Bailey.
What is this? I think
Bailey's spirit just entered your body. She just came in. She entered your body, Reg. Mm-hmm. Look, I had no idea that was going down, but I get your frustrations on that because you're right. The Royal Rumble is the big match. It's the big match. And that's all you want to hear. Instead, I would rather be told, for example, when Bronson Reed comes out, like, oh, Bronson Reed, you know, he's been having wins over blah, 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 blah. And this is why he should be a big force to be reckoned with. Stuff like that is, I think, what really sells the person that is entering into the Royal Rumble, right? Because basically you need to sell that this person could outlast 29 other men in order to win. Like, that's the whole selling
point.
That's the
sell. And that's all I'm talking about is I just want to know when Bronson Reed's going to WrestleMania. Like, it just felt like Michael Cole's already moving on past certain people. Like, he wasn't like, and tomorrow Cody Rhodes is going to blah, blah, blah. And tomorrow, see, he's like, no, Cody Rhodes is coming to win this match right now. And it just felt a little frustrating.
I get it. All right. So we got a couple of super chats here that I want to make sure I pull up here. Okay. So we have, I already read this one. Sorry. Oh, no, wait. No, I didn't. Sorry. Lab Glass says, after being chopped by Gunther and Drew, I'm surprised they could move.
Seriously. Gunther was chopping everybody.
Drew McIntyre, I don't know if I mentioned this already. He was great on this Rumble, by the way. I wish he would have came out even earlier.
How did you feel about Drew Mack was great? How did you feel about Bron Breakker?
Bron Breakker came out and looked good too, man. He honestly looked good too. I feel like, yeah, this was a really great Rumble debut for him. Like, honestly, really, really good. Chi-Town Spurs says Cody winning the Rumble convinced me that they should have had him win last year even more. It felt flat. Now we have 2 months where Roman is basically a lame duck champion since we all know what's coming, which is part of the reason why people weren't really interested in that fatal four-way.
Yeah, exactly. All these stories being told are like, what? Like, Cody is going to do the same thing. Like, we're going to tell the same story from last year, and then Roman's doing the same exact things in the main event. We're like, what is this, dude?
Let me ask you a question, Reg. If Cody Rhodes would have won last year, What matches do you think we would be seeing at WrestleMania 40 this year? And let's just say he kept the title the whole year and, you know, he had a long reign and he was definitely defending. Because I feel, go for it.
I'd like to think we'd get Cody and Gunther for the world title and then the same Seth and Punk match that I think we should get anyway. So I'm thinking that Cody would have been in the main event and they would have probably maybe fought harder to get Dwayne to be in the match with Roman.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. I was thinking Cody Rhodes. Actually, I was thinking Cody Rhodes versus CM Punk, right?
Oh, that
and,
too.
Yep. Yeah. And then I was thinking it could have been Rock Roman, but instead of that being the championship involved, it's the other thing that's the big thing is the head of the table. It's their history with the family. It's all of their personal bloodline issues that are essentially at stake.
Denise, I think my question is, if Cody does beat Roman, with how people reacted to that fatal four-way and how people are kind of the position that we are on Cody, is it gonna hit hard? Like, is Roman losing now? So. Does it hit as hard?
Yes. Yeah? Because Roman Reigns' reign has been so long, right? It's been so many days, so many years. We've been there. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I even said years, but it's been years.
It's been years.
It's been years. and it's like I do think that even though we know it's going to happen, that moment when he loses is going to be happened. He did it. And then on the other hand, you're going to go, Cody, man, he finished his story. That's going to be it's going to be a shocking and happy ending.
Well, that's good. That's a good thing for Cody. Cause I was like, I'm like kind of worried if they kind of keep pushing this thing. Cause I'm still not convinced that he's going to win at WrestleMania. And I'm like, if they keep like getting him almost there and pulling him back, people are eventually going to revolt, maybe?
Reg, if they do Cody losing to Roman at WrestleMania 40, and then all of a sudden they decide, oh, well, let's do it at SummerSlam, and that's where he'll win. No.
You're not into it?
No. If you're going to do Cody Roman Reigns at WrestleMania for a second time, you cannot do that to this man.
If he wins the Royal Rumble twice and loses twice, like Cody's got to fight somebody.
Yes. Point. No, like I would.
Denise, it's WrestleMania 40. After that. It's WrestleMania 40 again. And I just can't see any other situation where Roman Reigns is not holding that world title at the end of this show. I cannot see.
I know. I get your point, but they can't do that to Cody.
They can't. Cody don't deserve this. He's worked so, like, the story, if you tell your fans this story this hard and then you don't give them that, you are spitting in your fans' face. That's just how I feel. I don't know.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. Rated RJMB says Braun has to beat Gunther at Mania. I don't know.
No, not into it.
No.
What? I think I kind of like what Braun is doing in the match.
I just really like Gunther. Damn.
He's got to be in the world title hunt at this point, though, Denise.
I wouldn't hate it. He's just my guy. You know, I'm rooting for him.
Yeah, but he got to give up that belt because he's gonna be the world champion like this year.
I don't know when it's gonna happen.
Like, he's gonna beat Seth Rollins. The person to beat Seth Rollins is Gunther. So.
Really? I was thinking CM Punk was gonna beat Seth.
No. If they have the match at WrestleMania, Seth Rollins has to beat CM Punk. Like, there's no other option.
I saw it the other way, Reg.
No, 0%. CM Punk cannot. For this story.
Why not?
He can't. 0%, Denise. The story that they're telling in this match, the story that Seth Rollins told the whole time that Punk was gone, this is my company. Don't do this. You're talking all this shit. You're this person. You're this. And then for him to come back and get his main event and beat the guy that was here holding the flag would be crazy. And it would look crazy.
All right. You know what?
He was over there being an AEW, blah, 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 doing all this, and then come and win at WrestleMania. You can't do that.
Reg, thank you for breaking it down for me. You're right. You know what? You win this argument, all right?
Yeah, you can't let Park talk all that shit and then come back and win. No way.
I'm big enough to admit that you're right with this story, okay? Because I was thinking Punk should win. Mm-mm. Point blank. Because I was seeing it more in terms of star power.
Yeah, no. Seth, the flag waver, the WWE guy that will defend this shit to the death. He needs that win more than anything. More than any championship, he has to beat CM Punk at WrestleMania.
Vinny Max says, feels like they're just trying to update records. That's true. And you know, people like them records. WWE likes them records. We know it. Thank you so much for the super chat. Dan V900 says, Bailey being the Iron Woman while doing Next to Nothing was bad. Jay as the Iron Man did the same thing with Next to Nothing. Both Rumbles weren't good. Most of the women were walking through sludge. You know, obviously everyone's entitled to their own opinion. I didn't care for the men's Rumble. I thought that there should have been way more big moments. But I really did enjoy what they did with the women's. I mean, obviously there was a period where there wasn't, like, there was a little bit of a dry period, but I think that they sprinkled enough big moments throughout the entire Rumble that it kept it alive. Honestly, it really did. I really liked the women's Rumble.
Hot take. Battle Royals are just awful. Like, every Royal, I've been saying
Battle Royals are
like the worst match there are. There's nothing but punches. You can't do anything real because everybody's scared to get hurt. You can't see people behind you. The Royal Rumble historically is about the entrances, the big deals like that, a couple of face-offs. But for the most part, it's a bad match because you can't do anything in it. Historically, if you watch them, like people have been watching them all month and all blah, 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 preparing for this. Most of them are not that good. There's moments where you'd be like, oh, yeah, in that one match, in that one in 2000, blah, 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 blah. But for the most part, it's just a bunch of punching. It's just a bunch of standing around. It's just a bunch of waiting.
I feel you. Will Chisholm says, that's been my gripe with Battle Royals too, honestly. Will Chisholm says, John Cena didn't even win Rumbles back-to-back. They must really love Cody. I don't know. We'll find out if he finishes his story or not, whether or not they love Cody. We'll see. We have Realt Guile Koza Makubulu, who sends in a super chat. Thank you so very much. It says, ever notice that when a wrestler points to the sign before the match ends, they don't end up winning? CM Punk did that and got cursed. Oh my God.
It's like when you're going to challenge a champion and you pick up the belt before you win it. It's like, that's a bad omen. Pointing at the WrestleMania sign, Drew Mack stood for a minute and just looked up at it. And I was like, man, you're about to lose, bro.
Yeah. Okay. That's something to keep an eye out for on the future. That's a good
point. No point.
Really good point. Thank you for that super chat. We got Ryan Lambert here who says, we're getting Tia Pam versus Roman at Mania, right?
Who's Tia?
Wait, who's Tia Pam?
Oh, Bailey, probably.
Oh, what?
I was like, that's funny because her name's Pam.
Oh, sorry, I forgot. Her name's Pam. Did I know that?
I'm pretty sure you knew that. Yeah.
I forgot. Yeah. I was like, who's Tia Pam? Like, yeah. What did I miss? Is there some bit that I don't know about?
Yeah, that's Bay.
All right. Thank you so much to Ryan Lambert. Hey, man, Bailey versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania.
That bangs. That's way better than any other match, I think. Do you care about Jay and Jimmy?
Oh, yeah, I liked that. I really liked that.
Because they're going to do that. They're going to do the one-on-one match at WrestleMania.
I hope so. I really like them, and they earned it. They honestly deserved it. They did great work. They've done great work, but the Bloodline storyline in particular, they were great parts of it.
Yeah.
Amir Al-Karani says, do you think they save Rock versus Roman for when the Netflix deal starts? The PLEs in the U.S. are still a peacock for 5 years, right? The Rock mentioned that, I think it was on ESPN First Take, where he said something along the lines of wanting people to see this match on the biggest stage possible.
Oh, Amir, what a point here. I didn't really think of that. I mean, if you say, Denise, they have this like debut episode on Netflix, what a way to do it by having the biggest star in Hollywood, The Rock, face off against Roman Reigns for the belt. But that would mean that, like I said, Roman's going to keep that belt for another year.
Yeah, so who the hell knows, man? Who the hell knows? All right, we got Heel Hammer here who says coleslaw. Thank you so much, Heel Hammer. Appreciate that. All right, the only thing we haven't talked yet about the Rumble regarding the men was Andrade.
Oh, yeah. How was the reception in the crowd? Again, that's a song that we didn't really know. So
I feel like sometimes I forget to like really listen to the crowd in certain moments because I'm so involved in my own personal experience with it where like I'm like, oh, Andrade, bam. I'm all of a sudden I'm like tweeting, getting things ready, stuff like that, right? So I think I forgot to like listen to the actual reaction to it. I thought the reaction was pretty okay in the crowd. I thought it was fine. How did it come off on TV?
I think that it looked like people knew who he was, which I think is an important thing. I think again, it was with the theme thing because he got to different themes, so people were kind of like, "Wait, who was this?" not having commentary takes, I'm sure, a lot away from the live experience, because on the commentary, they're immediately like, Andrade's back, and they're selling all these points. But it's just a big stadium. It's hard to kind of gauge how things happened there, honestly. Yeah. But I think he looked good. It's great to see him back. I think that he was probably going to join in on this LWO stuff, and they're doing some good work over there, you know?
Exactly that. All right, so there you go. That was the Royal Rumble. Man, it's been like a crazy week here, guys.
Boy, do you want to talk about the press conference?
Yeah, I was actually gonna segue into that, because it was
You were in there?
Yeah, I was in there. I got one question in, because basically what they do is, I noticed that if you already ask a question, you don't get selected afterwards anymore, because there's right. so many people there, and like everybody's raising up their hands, and like, you know, they pre-select, like, or like during that moment, they select like 3-4 people, and they're on a
and you don't know who's coming in or anything. So you got to kind of have to pick and choose.
Yeah. Right. And so, you know, AEW, you're there the whole night. With WWE, mm-hmm. it's like, question you, done. Sorry, everybody else. Next person, we're moving on, because they run it very streamlined, and it's a very, very quick process, right?
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like, they run it like a show there. It's not like, you have a question and you haven't gotten asked? Oh, come over here, ask your question.
Like, Tony's no. like, all right, who hasn't gotten a question yet? You all get to ask a question.
No, that does not happen in the WWE pressers. Like, it's like, no, like there's a lot of people that didn't get a chance to ask a question that had their hands up. When Triple H came out, it was just like everybody's hand went like this, including my own. But so here's what happened to me. I was late to the presser. Not late, like I had gotten there before it started, but I was late enough where all the seats were already taken. I wasn't sitting in the seats. I was sitting in the back. Actually, I wasn't even sitting. I was technically where the WWE cameras, where the hard cam was at, mm-hmm. right next to it, they had a little platform for the press. So the press could put their tripods there and their cameras there and record, right? So I was on that platform. And so when I asked to do the Bailey question, thankfully they saw me, because I did the whole, whole this thing. I had to get down from the platform to be on ground level so that the camera could shoot directly to me. Mm-hmm. And so I was technically on a platform. So with that being said, it was just like a thing where, you know, I don't know. It was just the Triple H stuff. That's the big thing from this, is that what I expected was going to happen was, I thought that Triple H was going to come out, say the things that he normally does about the Rumble, numbers, things like that, what he thought about it. And then I thought that he was going to say, you know, regarding Vince McMahon, here is, you know, basically I was expecting him to read a statement, a corporate statement, you know, something that publicists work on and things like that, and end it with, you know, we're not going to be taking any questions about this at the time for whatever reasons. That's honestly what I was expecting from Triple H there. I was expecting some acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. The second he didn't, I was like, here we fucking go. We got to ask about Vince McMahon. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, question, everybody's hand shoots up. They had already chosen who the people were going to be that were going to ask the first questions. And so by then you're just there like, all right, well, let's see who gets to ask what. And so by the time the first person's going, they already have the mic on three other people that are just waiting for their turn. So I'm seeing it. I'm like, all right, she's got a mic. He's got a mic. That's four questions. That's it. Like, you already know you're probably not even going to get a question in. And if you do, it's like, okay, because they ended up giving like two extra questions, or like, yeah, like two or three extra questions for Triple H this time. Mm-hmm. I think because he wanted to probably get more Rumble conversation. Who knows what it was? But by then it was like literally everybody had their hands up and they just weren't, you know, just, you know, it's a lottery draw essentially, who gets chosen for that.
Right. This was, I didn't watch the whole thing. I just watched, of course, the Triple H clips, and he could have, the part of him saying, I haven't read it, or like, essentially, like,
I hadn't read the lawsuit, and he said he only wanted to talk about the positives and not the negatives. That was really it.
And it's like, oh, and then he had another time where he was like, I'm going to give you exactly the answer you expect me to give you. And it's like, I don't really know if that's the way we should be going about this, big dog. Like, you could have said part of it, but the part of being like, I don't want to talk about it, I want to talk about the positives, like, that's not really.
I think the way that it could have been worded, it's like, for example, if you want to say, I want to talk about the positives, right? You could have been like, you know, of course, going into the Rumble, that was definitely a hard thing that we had to deal with as a company. However, the talent worked hard, blah, 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 blah. That's right. A way to segue it.
However,
but before that, there had to be some sort of blanket statement to reassure the public that A, this is not going to be tolerated in WWE no more. B, we're basically disconnecting ourselves from Vince McMahon now that he's retired. Mm-hmm. Oh, not retired, but you know, he resigned. What is it? What am I
resigned.
Saying?
Resigned.
Resigned. Sorry, I couldn't think of the word right now. Resigned. And you know, it could have been as simple as that. You know,
yeah.
The lawsuit came out, and therefore, you know, Vince McMahon had to resign from TKO and WWE. And that is step one to moving forward and blah, 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 blah. I'm not a publicist. I don't know. Word it very nicely. Give us some big corporate lingo.
I think people just wanted some reassurance, Denise, and he did it. Like, he did give no reassurance. He could have came on and gave two sentences like, we know exactly what happened. We know that you guys know this is what we're doing to blah, blah, blah. But just kind of being like, oh, I don't want to talk about that right now. Let's talk about the Royal Rumble. It's like,
yeah, it looked bad because it's like, oh, so this is a very serious matter. And so we're just going to brush it underneath the rug, like that's why it looked really bad.
Yep.
So I was just there, and when he said that he hadn't read the lawsuit, Reg, I thought I misunderstood. I'm like, I didn't hear like, that
wait,
right.
What?
Yeah, I was like, you know what? I didn't hear that right.
Yeah.
That's literally what I thought. And then it was one of those things where I was just thinking, like, that lawsuit came out on Thursday. It's 67 pages. Reg, I read the entire thing. I can tell you everything that was mentioned.
I know there. Bunch of people that read the whole thing.
Yes, it is far worse than anything that you just read on the Wall Street Journal, because they put like some of the worst excerpts on that, but it was worse. It was a horror story. A horror story. I was reading a horror story that was you know, nonfiction, right? And so I'm thinking, if I have time to read this lawsuit, and a million people or whoever had time to read this lawsuit, you would think that they would have read the lawsuit.
They didn't just get that lawsuit on Thursday. He's known about this before Thursday. He didn't find out about it when we found out about it. So chill, Triple H, like, of trying to convince us that you've just been so busy that you haven't got around to it. That's not how this works.
Right. And I get it.
Too busy thing to do. You got to get into this, bro. You got to stop being busy and read this if that's the case.
Right. Because that's the truth. Like, I know you're busy planning, you know, creative, running creative for the Royal Rumble. I 1000% get that. But there are things that are sometimes more important that you're just going to have to put things to the side a little bit, or maybe take some additional help so that you can also do this, because
it's like Royal Rumble was number one, but then this thing overtook number one, dude. That's just how it works.
It's a serious matter. And yeah, anybody here, like, you know, we got Desi Baby who says she read it all and it's horrible. Anybody here who read that entire thing, I can tell you that afterwards, I was replaying the visuals over and over in my head. And I just thought, you know, we always hear stories about abuse, harassment, things that happen to people, but we just hear the words, right? We just hear the words. When you actually get into the details of it, it just changes things, you know? Mm-hmm. You know it's bad, obviously, but when you get the details, it just makes things worse. And it makes you just I felt horrible after that. Like, after that, I just felt like the whole time I was just walking and like thinking about it. Like, I couldn't get it out of my head. It was just like, I can't believe someone went through this. I can't believe millions of other people have gone through this, and more people are going through this. There's probably someone going through this right now. And I'm not just talking about like pro wrestling. I'm talking about like every single day. Everyday life, someone is going through something like this. And it's not just women. It happens to children. It happens to lots of people, everybody, and even men. I know it's something that's not talked about very often, but because of the shame factor that comes with it. But, you know, I just really got after reading that, it took me to a place that I don't like to be in my head, right? Because we get takes you into this dark space in your mind where you just start thinking about the terrible, evil things in this world, and it just makes you feel like shit. But you have to know about these things. You think I want to read about these? You think you want to read about things? Anyone wants to read about these things? Hell no. But it's unfortunate part of life that shit like this happens, and we need to be aware about it. We need to talk about it and spread education so that the upcoming generations of people, young kids growing up, don't grow up to become adults like this and do stuff like this, so that they understand you cannot do things to like this to other humans.
Yeah, it's pretty much, it's about education. It's about addressing the matters, talking about serious issues that sometimes we don't like. I don't want to talk about that. I want to just watch wrestling. I want to just blah, blah, blah. No, sometimes we got to hit these things head on. And this is so bigger than WWE. That's where I'm really landing with Triple H. Like, I know, dude, you guys sold out. You guys had a big pay-per-view. Hella people are there. You guys are doing all this. But this is so much bigger than WWE, dude. And people need to be reassured. There's people in your company. There's wrestlers, there's women's wrestlers in your company that need to be reassured. And they are not reassured after that. Like, oh, we'll talk about it tomorrow. Let's talk about the Royal Rumble today. No, I want to talk about this today. I did this Royal Rumble because I know how business moves, but I want to know what the hell's going on here.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's just like, you know, now moving forward, who knows how it's going to handle. I'm very curious to see how they handle the image of Vince McMahon moving forward. Because it's, for example, with Chris Benoit, when all of that happened, he's been erased from the history books, rightfully so, you know, because he did a horrible, horrible crime.
Exactly.
Okay. So how are they going to handle Vince moving forward? I have no idea.
It's got to give him the Benoit effect. We got to not see him in any video ever. Not talk about him. Not anything.
I have no idea. And then on top of this, like, you know, this is all over. This is everywhere. This is not just wrestling media. This is everywhere. The perception of WWE, like, they're out here making these big business moves and it's great. But now you got this over that. Like, it just adds this, you know, huge.
$5 billion at Netflix, Denise, $5 billion. On Monday. And then on Thursday, they're like, actually.
And it became, by the end of the week, it was a non-story. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, maybe it'll be a story again once we get closer to the date where we're actually going to get to the Netflix. But it was a non-story by the time that we got there to the press conference yesterday. It was a non-story at that point.
Frustrating stuff. That's it, man. And it's just after that Thursday, I felt like just this is horrible. It didn't feel good. Doesn't feel good to just want to come on and watch wrestling and use this space as something to separate from the world that's going on outside. It's crazy as hell outside, Denise. I live in Oakland, California. Like, when I read the news, it's too much. When I look outside, it's too much. So I go to wrestling to get away from shit like this. And then you see shit like this and you're like, this is, I don't want to escape to this. This is awful. You know what I mean? So it's frustrating. Let's move forward. Let's progress. Let's do things to help the world, because this ain't the way to do it.
Yeah. So to lighten the mood so that we don't end on a sad note, I have a funny story about, actually, because we're talking about like pro wrestling, right? We came into pro wrestling because we want to talk about stupid shit. You know, we want to talk about, like, why the hell is someone giving birth to a hand?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. All the wild things in the world, like silly, silly dancing. Yes. I want to see Prince Nana and Daniel Garcia square off.
Right.
I want to see all this funny shit. Some good shit.
Right. It's funny because, like, when I went to school, I studied broadcast journalism, and the route was to be a news reporter. And I knew I was not going to be a news reporter and focus on news the day that they brought someone in to a real person that went through a horrific story, and the person recounted their story, and our job was to ask this person questions, even though this person was crying while telling their story. As a reporter, as a journalist, our job was to ask the question. So I'm sitting there listening to this woman tell the story in my college class, a real true story. And Reg, I'm crying listening to this woman talk about what she went through. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I can't do news full time. I'm not cut out for this.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine that? I'm like, did you still stay up for KCAL 9? This really horrible thing happened. Like, you gotta be so
fucking, you gotta have composure. Yeah, in that position.
And I'm like, I cry watching the news, man. I've cried at every single, like, horrible thing that
you're crying at the training sessions. You're not even at the real thing yet.
I cry cried in developmental.
She cried in NXT.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, we weren't expecting to cover these things in pro wrestling, but man, at the end of the day, life is life, and you have to cover what goes down, even if it's ugly, even if it's bad, even if you hate talking about it.
Yep, exactly. And you know, it takes people like I know John Alba and Cam and some people did the work out there. Nick Houseman, they don't not like Nick Houseman, but you know, the people, there's some people that have to do the work. It's uncomfortable. Everybody's going to be uncomfortable. You might not like it, but this is just kind of how it is. But yeah, great time of Royal Rumble beyond the stuff that was over that. I think they accomplished what they kind of needed to accomplish with these kind of shows. A lot that they still need to work on. But, you know, this was the first non-McMahon, non-Kevin Dunn show. And I thought the presentation and it looks a lot better on TV. So they're improving.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So before we wrap things up, just a heads up to everybody. If you haven't already, I have posted 18, I think, brand new interviews here on the channel, somewhere around there. I don't even know. I lost count. Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, Cody Rhodes, the Creed Brothers, best interviews that I had this whole week. Phenomenal. Otis, you name it. I'm not even going to name everybody, guys. Go check them out. It would really, really help me a lot. That's how I fund these trips, get me the hell out of these Airbnbs, go watch these YouTube videos so that I can stay at a hotel. Wretch. Actually, I really like my Airbnb, by the way.
It looks nice. I'm like, I don't know why she's talking like that. It looks like you guys are looking in the background.
Yeah, no.
We have super chats before I think we got a few super chats.
Oh, did I miss any?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Don't want anybody to get their super chats mixed.
Yeah, thank you very much. Will B says, why was Mr. Front Row green shirt guy behind you? I don't know who that is. And he wasn't behind me. There was a whole platform that people couldn't see behind me. And then he was behind me. So he wasn't like behind me. I don't even know who he is. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. Those press conferences are very funny.
Amir says, Hunter said protecting employees was most important to him, then said he didn't read the lawsuit. How can he protect employees if he didn't read an earth-shattering accusation from a former employee? So I know we kind of touched on that right now, but
yeah,
yes.
Exactly. Great point, Amir. It's like, if you're really protecting me, you would know everything about this situation.
Exactly. And you have to know all of the ands, ifs, and buts. Like, I read the lawsuit. I watched the interview that the lawyer did, you know, reading everything else that like people like, you know, John Pollock are putting out, Brandon Thurston, Dave, Sean, like everything that people are putting out there, reading and informing myself so that you know what is going on and that you're aware, because you don't want to come across as ignorant.
Exactly.
Crazy 101 says Glad Okada and Mercedes were not there. Also,
That was the were there elephants in the arena, Denise? Were there people expecting Okada and or Mercedes to be there?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think there was a couple of Mercedes chants, but they didn't gain enough momentum. So I'm
okay.
Yeah, I didn't really feel like
it, honestly. If they would have came out, it would have been a big pop. But no, there wasn't any rogue people being like, we want Mercedes.
No, definitely not. I don't think so. Yuri Alandero says, well said, Kelly Connection. Couldn't agree more. Thank you so much for the DWO membership. Appreciate you, man. DV900, Dan V900 says, shout out to John Alba, Seahawk, and Brandon Thursday for asking. The other four who didn't ask, Triple H failed. Triple H's responses were tone deaf, especially with the amazing week. He was woefully unprepared. Yeah, and it's like, I wish that I was ready. I was honestly ready, but it's like, well, you didn't get picked, so there you go. But
yeah, exactly.
I was like, hi. I was nervous, don't get me wrong, but I was like, fuck it. Like, you know, I would feel ashamed of myself if I had the opportunity to ask and I didn't ask. I would feel like it was a slap in my face to my own credibility.
Same.
If you had the opportunity to ask and didn't ask, it's a slap in the face to your own credibility.
Like, I feel like there's a bunch of people that were in there that's not their intention. They didn't get into this for that, and they're not gonna go about that. But me personally, I'm not an investigative journalist, but if I was in there, I would have to. Like,
you have to. And even if you had another question in mind, you pivot.
I can't.
You pivot and you go, oh shit, I'm up. He hasn't spoken about this. Fuck, I gotta ask.
Because like I was saying, there's some things that are bigger than, this is bigger than WWE. There's some things you just have to take on. Like, I wouldn't want to, but I would have to.
Right, exactly. DNV900, thank you so much for the super chat. And I think that's where we're at now. Mm-hmm. All right, thank you so much, because I'm just all over the place today. I'm on little sleep, so I'm just like, ugh. All right, Reg, let the people know where they can follow you, support you, all that good stuff. Oh, wait, we got one more super chat. Brandon Rosen says, yes. Call me cynical, but at the end of the day, TKO is a corporation. They're more concerned about the stock price than employee safety. Guys, that's I true. Don't know. You guys know how it is in corporations.
Yeah.
What can I say?
Yeah. That's just kind of how it is, and kind of where, like, we don't want to land, though. We still have to attack them, but that's what the game
right,
is.
Right.
You can find me at Righteous Reg on all your social medias. Every Wednesday, I'm on with Denise. We talk the AEW Dynamite post show. I'm also on with Mike on Indeed every Wednesday. Every Thursday, I'm on with Kate on the ROH post show. Every other Thursday is Ask Grapsity. And every Saturday is Ask Grapsity with Philip Lindsay, where we talk the weekend wrestling. Thank you guys for showing up on Sunday. I know everybody's trying to go watch football. It's a big day of stuff. You guys are dope for showing up and talking with us this morning. Denise, appreciate you as always. You're the coolest. Yeah,
thank you so much. I have there's supposed to be a premiere that I'm supposed to go to today. I don't know where it's at yet, but
premiere what?
So they're doing a premiere for Bianca and Montez
for the Hulu show.
Yeah, they're nice. Doing a premiere. I'm supposed to be there. I don't know the address yet, so at some point oh, I just got a response saying, did you not get the email? Nope, I did not get the email. So I got to get the email because I did not get it. Okay. Oh, man, I hate when that happens to me. All right, guys. So keep an eye out for more content, and we'll be right there. Oh, it starts in an hour. I got to go, guys.
You got to go.
Bye, everybody. Take care. Bye.